I'm sorry. I just saw something more horrible than anything I've ever seen in my life. We happen to have here around the horn on Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper, and, you know, Woody Page.
I just happened to
glance up there, and look, he's Taylor Swift.
Is that what that is?
I think so. And I had no idea, and I just looked, and I saw that, and I was like, ah!
Woody Page.
With no warning or anything.
Hey, give Woody credit. Give Woody credit. Even, I don't know how old he is, but he still can make fun of himself. He can still enjoy himself. And so, at first glance... It was a little scary, but you know what? I'm all for it. Do you, Woody?
That's great. I'm still dealing with the first glance part of it. Really, that just... wow! Anyway, happy Halloween. No costumes for us today.
I know. I like your shirt there, though.
Thank you.
People in the YouTube chat, they might be able to see a Fright Time thing. Yeah. How old is that shirt?
This is like 30 years old.
Really?
Yeah. And it's been folded up for about 30 years, and I looked for it today, and I found it. It's like, hey, what the heck?
Oh, okay. Halloween. It's not like it's in the rotation you wear or anything like that. I was like, if you got a shirt 30 years old that still looks that good?
Yeah, it's just been folded up.
What's the over-under on how many years you can actually wear a T-shirt?
I don't know. Deuce, you know, we had Deuce on Friday. It's funny because he always makes fun of me for wearing old shirts. You know, people, when they buy a T-shirt that's supposed to look old, if I have an old T-shirt that's still functional, I'll wear it. I'll wear an old T-shirt. Why not? What's wrong with that? I think I have one in rotation, semi-rotation, 2002 U.S. Open.
Really?
Yeah.
2002. Let me think. Like, don't you think over time going through the washing machine and everything, it would be faded, start to rip just a little bit?
Yeah, but it's in pretty good shape.
I think my oldest T-shirt is about 2009.
Uh-huh.
2000. No, it might be 2006.
See,
I think I got this.
That's like brand new. Not,
I got it. But, you know, it goes from you wear it outside to you wear it at the gym to you just wear it around the house or you sleep in it.
Yeah.
You know, there's different levels to the T-shirt, you know.
There's one level after sleeping it. Then it's yard work.
Yard work, right? Or it becomes a dust rag or something like that, you know. Yeah, my 2006 shirt is just a sleeping shirt now.
Mm-hmm.
It can't go outside. I can't be seen in it.
I think I've worn it here, 2002 Western Conference Finals.
Oh, is
Kings.
That? Oh,
yeah. So
now, that's different, though, Whitey. That's like a throwback. That's like, you know, it's like wearing a Reggie Theus jersey or something like that. You know,
it's
you
almost
wear
like a trophy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, man?
Are you going to start by apologizing to the 49ers?
For what?
I mean, they're loaded now. The 49ers are loaded.
Weren't they loaded three or four weeks ago?
Turns out, no, not so much. Chase Young, the newest 49er. I'm just kidding, but as far as you owing them an apology, of course.
Of course.
But I think they needed pass rush help. They needed offensive line help. They needed
corner help.
At least they got the pass rush part of it checked out.
No, I love this deal for the Niners. You know, I'm a big Chase Young fan. You know, I was talking to Emil Fragoso walking in, and, you know, Washington is a dumpster fire of an organization. Everybody thought, oh, get rid of Dan Snyder, things would change. They're clearly selling off pieces. You're talking about a 24-year-old former number two overall pick, and you add him to this team, this defensive line. Now, this is going to cause nightmares for every offensive line out there. How do you block these guys?
If they don't get to the quarterback
now, it's like, what more can you do?
Right.
And so I think it's a great move from the Niners, not only from a personnel standpoint, but they're going for it. You know, and as a fan of a team, that's all you can ask for. You know, because I'm an Eagles fan, I want to criticize the move. Oh, now you got to go out again. But if I'm a Niners fan, this is what you want from John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. You want an embarrassment of riches. And clearly, you know, through the first seven games or whatever, eight games, the defensive line was not getting it done. And so now you add this guy in a contract year, I would imagine. So he's going to be hungry. Mm-hmm. And so and it's just for a third round pick, compensatory third round pick. Which, if he leaves, you get it back anyway. And so I think this is a huge coup for John Lynch and the Niners.
I think it also sends a message to the rest of the team, like, hey, we've lost three in a row, but we're all in. It's a positive message. And John Lynch does have a history of doing this. See, last year with Christian McCaffrey. And on the crossover, we were talking about the fact that a couple years ago, At the deadline, the 49ers wanted offensive help, and they wanted Odell Beckham Jr., and their record was so poor at the time. Were they 3-5? Mm. And Odell Beckham Jr. looked at the Niners and like, I don't want to go there. John Lynch had to come out and say, you know, right now we're not a great destination for a player like that. But they tried.
Yes. And now it's completely different, right? It's completely opposite. Like, you know, forget the record. I know I've been piling on the Niners the last 3 weeks. When it's all said and done, they're going to be in the mix for an NFC championship berth. They're going to be in the mix for a trip to the Super Bowl. And now you add a 24-year-old defensive stud like Chase Young, who has not played his best football yet. Five sacks so far this season. You got him for more than half the season left to go. This is a huge move, a huge coup for them.
And I do think it addresses their biggest need. And we can go back and forth, and I'm sure we will. You know, we've been arguing all week long, and we'll continue to argue until they play better. What's the problem? What's wrong? Yeah. A lot of things are wrong, but I do think the inability of the front to get pressure on the other quarterback is the single biggest problem, and the fact that the defense is just like marshmallow soft, I think that's the biggest problem of the handful of problems the 49ers have. This should help.
It should help, but as the naysayer that I am, why are they in this position, Whitey? We didn't say that at the beginning. We thought the defensive line was a strength of this team going into the season.
Well, it's a great question because remember last year they thought it was a strength of the team, and then they had to get Hargrave. And then they had to get Jackson, right? Randy Gregory.
Randy Gregory, not Randy Jackson.
Yeah, right, Come on.
People are like, who?
Little pitchy dog.
But now I'm looking at this defensive line.
They got Cleveland Farrell. My point is they keep trying to upgrade because it's been a problem for a long time, and it's a bit of a mystery.
And if it's a problem going forward, I don't know what else you do, right? Like, Cleveland Farrell had a great game, I thought, the other day.
He's probably their second-best pass rusher.
Right, yeah, exactly. And now he goes, you know, to the second unit maybe. So you got Chase Young, Eric Armstead, Hargrave, and Bosa. Wow. And Farrell, Javon Kinlaw, and Randy Gregory as well.
And like Jackson actually is Drake Jackson, but he
Drake Jackson,
He has not played very well this year.
No,
he's underperformed. They had high hopes for him. For him, but he just hasn't really produced.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And you know, they are loaded now defensively, and they didn't get addressed the secondary.
Or did they?
Or they may have tried, right? Like, what's the deal? Explain to me what's happening with the Giants. I'm walking in, and Emile Fragoso is like, oh, they were about to pull off this move, but then the Giants failed to submit it in time.
That's
set the
all
table.
I know.
Yeah,
if, that's. If we even know that, that's what
right,
I heard.
Right.
I don't know if anybody knows it. For Adoree Jackson.
Adoree Jackson, yeah. Yeah, it's...
You know why I'm buying it?
That they did do that deal? You know, like that...
That it fell through? That it,
yeah.
I know listening to Stiles and Watkins, they were saying that Tim Kawakami had been suggesting the Niners aren't done yet. Tim Kawakami is very well connected, and he's got skins on the wall. He didn't just throw that stuff out there to get clicks. And he said, I'm standing on my reputation. So nothing got done, but I believe that he had reason to believe they were really trying and they almost did do something. Well, maybe we'll find out, but I bet they were in on that.
Now, I'm on this website, NinersNation.com, and so I'm just reading Wesley Steinberg, who covers the Giants and the NFL. The Giants had agreed to a trade with the Niners for cornerback Adoree Jackson, but failed to report it. Editor's note, it was a fake account. Whoops, I'll eat that. So we need to deep dive because Tim Kawakami, like you said, 49ers are closing in on another trade. I don't know who it's for, but it seems likely they've got one more. That was at 12:14. And so I'm not sure who to believe right now.
Right.
But if they didn't address the corner situation, one way you can help your secondary is by upgrading the front four. And that's what they did. And so now quarterbacks may not have 4 or 5 seconds to survey the field. Now you may have to get the ball out in 2.5 seconds, 3 seconds. And that helps your secondary.
Also yesterday, Kyle Shanahan said something that we'll address later in the show. And this may sound like an excuse. I think it was just an honest reaction to the game film. He said, we look slow and tired. And, you know, if that's true, you know, no excuses, but if that's true, and they look that way to me too, then they should benefit from the bye week.
They should, right? And now it's no excuses coming back. You got a week off. If slow and tired was your excuse. And You rarely hear that, I think, in the NFL. It like you don't hear a team saying, "Ah, we're just tired." Like no, not at week 8, week
you're
9,
really not
like really?
To say that.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, if they're tired now, sure, they got the bye week, but then what's going to happen when you still have 9 games left to go and the playoffs? Are you going to be tired in mid-December again? And so I'm not buying that as an excuse. I don't believe he said that. I know he said it. Uh-huh. I don't believe he, like,
yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
They did look slow and tired, but I'm with you. The coach isn't supposed to say that. And
right.
There's really not a lot of upside to say on that.
Not a lot of upside at all. You know what? The guys just need a kick in the butt. Let's call it what it is, right?
They're looking up now, as you said yesterday, at Seattle.
Yes.
They're looking up at the Lions. They're looking up, of course, at forget the team in Philadelphia.
At the best team in football, the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. And you can't argue that. Record-wise, the Eagles are the best team in football. And so they had to do something, this Niners. Like, if they would have just stood pat, I think it would have been highly disappointed. Now you bring in Chase Young, a sense of renewed optimism, a shot in the arm, if you will, and we'll see how it pans out.
Yeah, and speaking of big trades, tell you what the Harden trade means for the NBA, the West, and the Kings when we come right back on the Halloween edition of The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Thanks for being with us. Happy, happy Halloween on the chat. People going back and forth on Chase Young. Some people excited, other fans less than overwhelmed by some of his sack numbers. You know, Kyle, you can slice those things a number of ways now,
yeah.
Especially in the age of analytics. I know that his win rate and his pressure rate this year, they're very high. So don't just look at the sack numbers alone. Although, what does he have? He has 5 sacks in 7 games this season.
Yeah,
I think the question mark with him would be 34 games over 4 seasons with Washington, 14 sacks. He missed 2023, the opener with a neck injury. He has had some injury issues, but he's been a productive player.
Yeah, he has.
Way around that.
No, but you're right about his injury situation.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Looking at it, is this correct? 3 games last year? 9 games the year before, a rookie year, 15 games. And so he's had trouble staying on the field. And while he's an immense talent, we know that, obviously. Once again, you have another guy that health is going to be something you have to monitor. Like, you know, if he's there, great. But, you know, the history of the Niners, you know, injury history, it raises a lot little eyebrows, you know. I still make the move if I'm John. Like, the dude is 24. Like, he was a stud coming out of Ohio State. And so I love the move, but, man, he has had trouble staying on the field.
That's why I like, to the point you made earlier, I like the fact that you got a guy in his contract year.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what Bosa did last year. You know that player cannot possibly be more motivated to give you everything he's got in the contract year.
Yeah, but, you know, you bring that up and – you know, if I'm the Niners, obviously you want him to be hungry. You want him to go out there and be a difference maker. You don't have to bring him back. But you look at Bosa, like, is Bosa going to be motivated? I actually thought Nick Bosa, you know, played pretty well the other day.
I think he's played pretty
yeah,
well.
I thought he's played. Now, he hasn't been Nick Bosa of last year.
Right.
But it's not because, and I'm looking at the YouTube chat, you know, Bosa got paid and mentally retired. I don't buy that. I'm not seeing that out of Nick Bosa. The results aren't there, but, you know, the Nick Bosa I watched the other day in that loss, like, the hunger was still there. The fire was still there. In fact, a couple of Armstead sacks were because Nick Bosa got up the field and pressured. And so I hope we do get a motivated Chase Young. But then do you bring him back next year, too? Like, it can go either way.
We'll see how he plays,
yeah.
Right?
And yeah.
Hopefully he forces you into making a tough decision,
yes,
with the way he plays. I thought it was interesting also that the Bears got Montez Sweat.
Yes.
And they got him for a second-round pick. and the 49ers got Chase Young for a third round pick. Young has probably a better pedigree, but perhaps this year he hasn't played quite as well. But
right.
That seems like a good bargain given what the Bears had to give up for Sweat.
Yeah, but I think, you know, Montez Sweat, you know, is having a better season, than with Chase Young. And so I don't think a third round pick, especially a compensatory pick, when you, you know, can get it back after that, to me, it's almost like free money. Like, you really didn't have to give up a whole lot. And, you know, meanwhile, a second round pick.
Yeah.
Now that's pretty hefty to give back. You know, from the Niners' standpoint, to me, it's a no risk kind of move, right? You know, if it doesn't work out, you let them walk and you move on. You know, but now you address a need and you get it during the bye week, so you don't have to rush him in or anything. Now he gets a full week of practice with the team, and you get ready to face Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville.
You know what I wonder about, and no one's really talking about this, and I understand why, because there's nothing that can be done now about the trade for Trey Lance, but they could really right now use some of the players they could have gotten with the picks they traded out for Trey Lance. Right?
No, you're right. Think about that. Like, when we talk about the haul they gave up for Trey Lance, it wasn't like you gave up fifth or sixth rounders. Like, you gave up first-round picks, second-round picks, and that's how you build depth on your team. And I think when you look at this Niners franchise.
Like Micah Parsons.
Right, because you could have had Micah Parsons. Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? Micah Parsons on one side and Bosa on the other. Yeah. But you weren't supposed to be in this position to scramble to try and fill holes. This was supposedly a ready-made team to start the season. And clearly, these last three games, the Niners have been exposed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree with that. I think offensively there's still some positive signs here, but at some point, you know, someone's just got to make a stand and
right.
The whole team, somebody's got to
start playing better, right?
Plays and playing better. Yeah, we'll see if they're able to do that against the Jacksonville team that's playing pretty good football. By the way, when I named the list of teams that are ahead of the 49ers right now, we went to break, and guess who was quick to remind me during the break? Oh, you got to put Dallas in there too, Whitey. Don't forget Dallas.
So by record, I'm just...
Yeah, I know.
By record, the Niners are the fifth best team in the NFC right now.
And they've earned every bit
of that.
They
have earned every bit of that, you know. And what concerns me, I guess, they haven't – I keep telling you, I think they need a wide receiver. I think when you watch what the Eagles did, the Eagles were set at wide receiver. Then they go bring in a veteran like Julio Jones. Bring in somebody like that, you know, and not, you don't have to go out there and get Davante Adams or anything like that. But I think the loss of Deebo Samuel has really hampered, and throw Trent Williams in there too. I know Trent's a big part of it, but not having Deebo has really hampered this Niners offense. 17 points per game in each of the last three games. We can blame the defense all we want. The offense hasn't been getting it done either, Whitey.
Well, you know how much I enjoy talking about Philadelphia.
Yes.
So we'll continue to do that here as we look at the big trade in the NBA.
Yes.
How about that? James Harden going to the Clippers. What does this mean for the West, for the Kings?
I think this is massive for Philadelphia. I think this is huge. I don't think this impacts the Clippers much. Like, you know, I looked at a story, and they went from a minus or plus 2,800 to plus 1,400 or something crazy like that. But James Harden does not deliver when it matters the most. To me, it does not move the needle from a win and loss standpoint with this team. James Harden is a historic underachiever, Whitey. He'll put up some flashy numbers, game one against Boston, game four, but then he'll disappear when you need him the most. And so I love this trade for Philadelphia, and I'm not saying that just because, you know, that's my hometown team and I'm trying to be a homer. What they were able to do, they have more flexibility now today than they did yesterday. They got multiple picks. They got a couple of players. So now maybe they go out there and get an OG Anunoby. Maybe they try and get a Pascal Siakam. So Daryl Morey's out here playing chess while everybody else is playing.
And Tyrese Maxey is blossoming.
Is that dude, right? Like, it's addition by subtraction. And everybody's saying, oh, they didn't get a star player or anything like that back, the Sixers.
But they might.
They might, though. They are not done. They got, you know, multiple picks. They got pick swap as well. I actually like KJ Martin. Sacramento fans should know him very well because he victimized us last season. Marcus Morris Sr. goes back home. And so they're a deeper team right now, and they have some flexibility. Let's say you're Toronto, and I offer you – no, you know what? Let's say you're Chicago, and I offer you a package of a couple of K.J. Martin, another player, and two first-round picks for Zach LaVine.
That's the one I've been thinking of. Yes.
Like, that's – Chicago has to, at some point, hit the reset button, the rebuild, and they need picks. If I'm them, I'm looking at what OKC did. I'm looking at what the Utah Jazz are doing right now. You acquire the picks. And so Zach LaVine in that offense, in that system, Tyrese Maxey, Zach LaVine, and Joel Embiid, the Sixers aren't done yet.
I'm with you. It seems like a head-scratcher from the Clippers' perspective. The only thing I could come up with, and it looks like kind of a desperate move where they're doubling down on this get superstars towards the end of their run strategy. You know, it's backfired on them to this point. I'm wondering if part of this is they're thinking, you know, Paul George and Kawhi, they tend to break down. Maybe if they do, one of them breaks down, maybe they both break down. Maybe Harden's still able to play. Maybe it's an insurance policy against one or both of those guys getting hurt. But I'm with you. It's a bit puzzling to try to understand what they think, how they think they're going to benefit. And it also, to me, throws Westbrook's role now kind of up in the air. And he actually has been pretty good.
He's been pretty good. He's been a leader for them. And, you know, when you look at Harden going to the Clippers, does that move Westbrook to the bench? And isn't that what they had with the Lakers? Mm-hmm. And it didn't work out. And so, and when you look at what the Clippers do, Paul George is sort of a de facto point guard almost for them. Now you take the ball out of his hands. And so James Harden, he has to adapt his game. He had a tremendous regular season, I thought, for the Sixers last year. But in terms of a fit, this is not what they need. You know what the Clippers need? And I keep, a lot of teams need this. They need like a Rajon Rondo kind of point guard. Somebody like that. Somebody who really can get the ball moving. A Chris Paul kind of situation. They don't need a guy that's going to pound it out, dribble out the shot clock, and then chuck it up. Like, and I don't see James Harden just standing in the corner watching Paul George do his thing. And so this is a desperate move by the Clippers.
I agree.
And all these guys, if I'm correct, can be free agents after this season. And you gave up all your draft capital in this deal and the Paul George deal as well. So the Clippers, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah, it's a head-scratcher. I'm assuming on some level that Paul George and maybe Westbrook, too, were for it. Maybe that's one of the reasons they did it. Maybe they endorsed the move. I don't think if you're a Kings fan, you really have to lose any sleep over this one, though. Coming up, speaking of the Kings, Kyle Draper is going to tell us about his brand-new TV partner.
Oh,
who is also going to join us this afternoon. And we'll look at the state of the Kings three games in when the Drive guys come right back on Sacktown Sports.
Will Kyle Shannon...
Basking in the afterglow of the 49ers' big trade on this Halloween. Yeah, Chase Young is now a San Francisco 49er. And it seems like every year now the 49ers are trying to upgrade the pass rush. Well, we got to upgrade the pass rush. Pass rush is what we thought it would be. It's been going on for a while now, but Chase Young should help. His pass rush grade is 79.7. What does that mean? I don't know, but it's a career high. His win rate is 18.4%. Is that good? That's a career high, it must be. He's got 5 sacks and 38 pressures. So
is that good?
I think that's pretty
that's
good.
Okay, yeah. That's all right. And
the quarterback must go down, as Al Davis used to say.
Yes, you go for it. And it's sort of all, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about this. It reminds me of the 90s, early 90s, when the Cowboys and Niners – and it was just a drive to see who can get the, you know. And that's what the Niners are doing right now. They go out and get Randy Gregory, who's, I think, been a great addition. Now you go out and get Chase Young. Like, it's an arms race. They recognize this is the year. You got to go all in. Push all your chips in. Whatever it takes to improve this roster, you got to do it. And so from a Niners standpoint, a fan standpoint, I think it's a great move.
Yeah, and it just needed to be done.
Yeah,
when you're reeling like this, I made a joke about all the teams are looking up at, but man, that's alarming right now. I know we'll talk about this in a little bit here, but Dante Whitner, the hitman, he says, "Oh, it's panic button time." He says, "It's time to hit the panic button."
Wow. Yeah. After three straight losses.
Yeah.
The, you know, the ship be sinking. I forget who said that. Remember back, that was the NBA saying. And so they had to do something, right? It wasn't just going to be, oh, the bye week can't come soon enough. We'll, you know, hit the reset button. Now you add, you infuse some life into this defensive line. And, you know, and for Chase Young, you go from arguably the worst run NFL franchise to now a model franchise, a historically great franchise, a legacy franchise. And
this is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So you might even see a hungrier Chase Young this season.
By the way, it was Christmas night 1981. Michael Ray Richardson.
Yeah.
After the Knicks lost four straight. The ship be
sinking.
I had to look it up. I remembered it, but
you
I didn't remember
that?
Where
yeah.
it was from.
Yeah.
But that's one that's lasted.
Yes, it's lasted 40 years, and that's what was happening for this Niners
That's
team.
Older than this shirt, even.
Really?
That
about a year or so, yeah, right? Yeah. A year or so. Yeah. But think about it, though. Like, has there been, and I know the Niners have had some roller coasters. Has there been a steeper fall from grace in the middle of a season than what we've seen from the Niners this so far?
From the 49ers?
I can't remember the, like, what, 2019 was they, it? They started off?
Yeah, they usually go the other way.
Yeah, usually it's the other way. Start slow and then take off. Like, and we, you know, applauded them at the beginning of the season. They came in with the right mindset. You know, they're all business. Forget all the outside noise. And one hiccup. One bump in the road, and bam, they're off the track.
I'd still rather be the 49ers than the Eagles when you look at that Eagles' upcoming schedule, though.
Nah, but you see what we did to the Dolphins? That was supposed to be a tough game, and we smacked them up, beat them pretty easily.
Games coming up.
Do have some tough games. I'm not worried about Dallas. You know, it's got two games coming up against the Dallas, one at home, one on the road. I'm not worried. But that Buffalo-Kansas City Niner stretch that they have, Seattle in the mix, man, that is tough. That's tough. If you can, you know, hold off and don't lose three out of those four games, to me, that's a success if I'm the Eagles.
Well, how about the Kings just bouncing over the Kings, talking about holding
talk
on
about
here
that.
Through a rough stretch because the Kings now are without De'Aaron Fox. We don't know how long he's going to be out. 77 games without De'Aaron Fox since he became a King. They're 33-44. So what do you think, Kyle Draper, right now? What is the state of the Kings? What's reasonable in terms of how well they can play while De'Aaron Fox is recovering?
I think, you know, when you look at the Sacramento Kings schedule, and I'm going to pull it up and I'm going to go game by game here. You mentioned all the games he's missed in his career. I can say that they are more prepared now than they've ever been when De'Aaron Fox has missed some time. And so when you look at the upcoming games, sure, you got a tough one tomorrow night at Golden State. Even if De'Aaron Fox played, you might not win that game. And so if we lose tomorrow, we can't be like, oh, we didn't have Fox. So, you know, the Warriors have had our number recently. So maybe you lose that game. But then you got Houston.
Win-win.
Don't do it. That's how you jinx people, Whitey.
I'm not jinxing.
That's how you were earlier with the Niners. It didn't fun. Like, dude, you got to respect the opponent. And
no,
I'm going to
win. Win's the game. What time?
Oh,
what
win, win. Oh, because it's two. Oh, all right. I get it.
Sure.
But you got to respect the opponent. So Houston, Portland, Oklahoma City. Ooh. That's when it gets tough. Cleveland. Mm. That's a little tough game. Lakers at L.A. That's and so they say De'Aaron Fox is out at least for tomorrow. He's going to miss more games. He's going to miss more games. You know,
and he should miss more.
And
games.
He should miss. Right. You don't want to rush him back. The thing is, I would rather him obviously miss 1 week. Like if he misses 1 week, I think they can handle that. They can stem the tide. If he misses 2 weeks, that's when you get into the Oklahoma City, the Cleveland, the Lakers at San Antonio. This is a tough schedule, man. After Houston and Portland, because then you go on the road. Lakers, Spurs at the Spurs. That's not an easy win anymore.
No.
That's not an easy win.
If you're playing in the West, they're really...
Right.
I mean, maybe Portland and Houston.
Right.
Maybe. But that's as close as you get to any easy games.
Then you got at Dallas, two against New Orleans on the road, at Minnesota, home against Golden State, Clippers, Denver. Like, so I think this stretch is critical. I would obviously give De'Aaron Fox at least a week off. Like, I wouldn't even try and bring him back for the games in Houston. You know, say, you know what, De'Aaron, we got it. This is why we have our depth. Davion can handle it. Malik can handle it. Kobe Jones will get some minutes. Like, you need De'Aaron Fox for mid to late November when that schedule gets really tougher. I think they can handle it in the short term. Long term, then you start, you know, it's becoming questionable.
You just got to make sure you have him for the games in Vegas in the
exactly
in-season tournament.
The semifinals and the finals in-season tournament. But I'm looking at this schedule, Whitey, and, you know, obviously you want De'Aaron Fox to be healthy. Obviously you want him not to rush back. So that's why
I think lingering. You don't want anything lingering where he plays a couple. Oh, it's sore. He's got to sit down.
Yeah. You don't want anything lingering throughout the season. But that's why it's imperative on Davion and some of these other guys. All right. Your leader's gone. Somebody has to step up. It has to be a collective, obviously. But I don't want De'Aaron sitting at home or watching the game, seeing his team lose three in a row and thinking, oh, man, I got to hurry back. Or this is the chance for Davion and some of these other guys to say, De'Aaron, don't worry. We got your back. We'll be able to handle it.
Well, it'd be great, obviously, to get a win tomorrow. But I'll tell you what, the Warriors, I saw them last night. They were on NBA TV. They're really playing well right now. Steph Curry, what he's doing right now is like, it's ridiculous. He was already ridiculous. But now watching him this year, I know it's a year just started, but it's hard to believe what he's doing so far.
No, he's one of the game's greatest players ever. And
he's taking it somehow to a next level at age
right.
52 or whatever he is.
He is indefensible right now. I mean, you know, when you combine his shooting with his ball handling and his basketball IQ, he's tough. He, you know, what he was doing last night against the Pelicans, right? Was it the Pelicans last night?
And now he lets you know about it,
yeah,
too.
And now he's talking to trash, too. And there's no way of stopping this guy. And so it'll be interesting to see how the Kings try to defend him. Do they take the ball out of his hands? Do they make him more of a passer? But he's playing arguably at an all-time high right now, which is crazy to think. Like, I've been the biggest Warriors critic out here. Like, they're going to be, you know, why are they getting... Steph gives you a chance night in and night out, and it's amazing what we're seeing from him.
Yeah, if he keeps it up, maybe he's never done this. Of course, leads the league in scoring. I don't think he's ever done that, has he?
I don't think so.
Maybe he adds that to his resume.
I
don't know.
I tell you what.
Chris Paul's coming off the bench now, and he's okay with it. Right. It's a little scary.
It's a scary how well they're playing, right? I mean, think about it. Last year, they couldn't buy a win on the road. This year, they're perfect 3-0. They never had a three-game win streak on the road last season.
Right, that's right.
This year, they're already off to a 3-0 start. And so what I'm seeing from the Warriors, and mind you, they haven't been fully healthy. Klay sat out last night. Wiggins hasn't been himself yet. And so it's scary that they can get even better. And, you know, we saw them obviously last week in Golden State. Their ability to move the ball is just scary. Like, their offense is so efficient. And so I may have to amend my Warriors prediction. Not yet. Not yet, Whitey. I'm not going to say the first week of the season. Now we know what's going to happen. But they're off to a better start than I thought they'd be.
Speaking of guards and point guards, tell us about your new TV partner who we're going to be talking to today, right?
Yeah, I can't wait to have Mike Bibby on our show coming up today at 4:15. You don't want to miss that. And we know he's a Kings legend, part of those great Sacramento teams. But now he's going to be joining us on the TV side, on the pre- and post-game show and halftime show. Starting tomorrow, he'll be with Morgan Reagan. And this is a huge get because, you know, one thing that, you know, NBC and the Kings have tried to do is tie this year's team, this year, the current state of the franchise, to the glory years. Mm-hmm. And so many times, you know, I've worked in other cities, you know, Boston, for instance, and the legends, they move away and they never come back, you know, and they're not a part. This way, now you bring him back, a legend who's going to be a part of your broadcast team. You'll see Mike Bibby. So I think that's a huge get for the Kings organization in this city.
Yeah, you're right. And they got two of the members of that team that Well, Bobby Jackson was a coach for a long time, and Doug is on the
Doug's
bench.
Doug's there, so exactly.
A lot of guys have kept in touch.
And I love the fact that having Mike Bibby around, same thing with Doug, they know what it takes to become a winner. And so I'm sure he'll be going to practices sometimes, talking to the guys sometimes. And to me, that can only help this Kings team.
When we come back, take a look at the three big issues the NBA in-season tournament must overcome as we get ready for that, you know, which the Kings hopefully are going to win, right? The commercials are great, by the way. The in-season tournament commercials.
They have been. They're doing a great job marketing.
Yeah, we'll be right back. It's Drive Guys on Sacktown. Powering your afternoon. Happy Halloween. If I thought of it sooner, Kyle, I didn't think of it till, I don't know, 11 o'clock this morning. I would have shown up on Halloween in a full-on, full Brock Purdy 49er uniform. But I thought of it too late. By the time I thought of it, it was too late to do anything about it. So next year I'll do it, and I'll also be able to add a Super Bowl ring to the costume.
Well, I'm glad you didn't do it, because in the final hour of our show, you would have turned it over, fumbled the bag or something. You know, it would have been an off. You know, Brock Purdy in the fourth quarter, he's just not clutch. So I'm glad you didn't show up with Brock Purdy, because that final hour would have been trash like he's been. No, I'm just.
Yeah.
I'm,
no, I got you.
You get it. You get
you
where
were
I'm
fine.
Going.
You were fine. All right. You were fine. Confession to make. Tonight, you know, my daughter's coming over with her husband with Halloween, because their dog doesn't do well with people. So they bring the dog over and we turn out the lights. Whatever. Anyway, so what do we watch? It's World Series is on, but...
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
I'm not feeling the World Series, which kills me to say that. And it might be, hey, do we watch a horror movie or do we watch the World Series tonight? I've never had to ask that ever in my life.
Why? Are you supposed to be a sports guy?
I know.
You're supposed to be dialed in.
I know.
You're supposed to be prepared when we walk in to talk all sports.
Yeah.
Not just football and basketball.
Right.
Who's playing in the World Series? No. Dude, I have not watched a single pitch of the World Series. This is the most uninteresting World Series. I can't remember the last time it's been this bad. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just me and a East Coast bias, West Coast, whatever it is. But I have no interest in these two teams.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the baseball fan in me will probably say, no, I got to watch. But yeah, it just hasn't really... captured the
imagination.
People
are saying, well, but what about Bruce Bochy, you know?
Right, I know.
Do we really want him to win somewhere other than San Francisco, though?
Yeah, I'd be okay. I understand your point.
Yeah, I'm just like,
Yeah, but yeah, the Rangers.
It's like seeing your ex-wife go on and remarry and be happy. Do you really? I don't know. So, I'm just saying,
I like that.
You see where I'm going, though, right?
I do.
And so Bruce is a great guy.
In this
we appreciate
case, your ex-wife, but you left her.
Right. Yeah, that's true. You done moved on, and so I don't know, man. She might be the one that got away, though. You know what I mean? As Bob Melvin takes over, we're like, darn, man, where's Bruce Bochy when you need him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it kills me to say that. But this, and it was such a good baseball season. Well, we'll see. Maybe it'll be a great, great World Series, but it just seems like it's a little lackluster so far. Hopefully the in-season tournament, once it gets going, will be great. The commercials have been great. Jess on the chat says, how come there's no Kings in the commercial, though? That's true, right? You got Julius Randle, and you got, I think, Trey Young's in there, DeMar DeRozan, and Draymond. I don't see any Kings in there, but that's
all
right.
You don't see any Kings in there?
I don't really think so. That's all right.
They're saving it for when they go to Vegas.
Right.
You know, they'll redo the commercials. And you looking forward to it, though? It begins what, next week against OKC first?
I kind of am. I know we had yesterday the announcement and the graphics of what all the courts are going to look like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're trying. To me, the three big issues with the in-season tournament, what do you think of these? I think one is player buy-in. Mm. We'll see if the players buy in. If they do, that's a huge hurdle that is overcome. Two is the fact that the format's kind of confusing. In the commercial, they say 30 teams, single elimination.
Yep.
It's like, no, it's
not single elimination. Oh, right. Why do they say that?
I don't know.
I heard that too, and I was like, It's not single elimination.
Right. It's hard enough to explain it's without play. Them explaining
round
it
robin,
wrong
yeah.
on purpose. And then the third thing, and I saw this somewhere on some comments or something, the tournaments in soccer, you know, they have teams from different leagues
yeah.
that don't normally play against each other.
Right.
And in this, it's the same teams that always play against each other. Now they're just in a tournament. So that's one of the things that I think makes this a little underwhelming, but I'm hoping it's special.
I was about to say, you're just being a hater right there. Like,
I know.
This is baby steps.
I'm trying
this
hard
is
the
to
first
like year
this.
Of
I'm
this.
I'm trying hard to like this.
Let me ask you
I
this.
I want to get on board with both feet.
No, I'm 100% with you in terms of, like, when they play Oklahoma City next Friday in the first game of the in-season tournament, that game doesn't have any added meaning to me as a fan. I was already up for that game. That's, you know,
right.
and so.
Because it's a group game.
It's a group game.
If you lose, what happens?
Depends what else happens. We don't know. Like, the Warriors are in their pod also.
Yeah.
That was already going to be a big game. They got the Spurs, Victor Wembanyama. That was already going to be a big game. And so I don't think we'll get the feeling of a true in-season tournament until that final game when they need to beat the Warriors maybe to go to 3-1 or 4-0 and clinch a spot in Vegas.
You know, maybe they should have done single elimination. Do you think? Maybe? 30-team single elimination and get rid of the group stage. I don't know.
You know, I don't know what they could have done. Player buy-in is going to be interesting because we've already seen players resting, sitting out, taking games off. I would imagine the NBA, if I'm correct, has rules regarding the in-season tournament. Like, ain't no load management happening in-season tournament games. That would be a bad look. And so, $500,000 to some guys is a lot of money. But for your star
to
players.
The guys who don't play.
Right, to the guys that
Come
don't
on,
play.
Let's go.
Exactly. The 9th, 10th, 11th man, they're like, oh, man, the rookies are going to be playing hard, bro. They're going to be diving, crashing into the stands and everything. So player buy-in, like I said before, I don't think the first games, November, you know, that Friday against OKC, it's not going to be any added motivation. But when they know that they have a chance to perhaps go to Vegas, I think you'll see it ratchet up over time.
Mm-hmm. As far as the World Series goes, Andrew on the chat says, haters going to hate. Been a fantastic World Series so far. I know that first game was great, but we were out at the arena Friday night. Game one was amazing.
Was it?
That was a 10-inning.
Yeah, it was. Walk-off. Yes. And Andrew, where are you from? Andrew's either from Texas or he's from Arizona, right? Like, I didn't even know, and maybe this is, you know, I shouldn't admit this, I didn't even know who was winning, you know, and problem
once
is,
your Phillies were out, you
yeah, once
lost.
Exactly. We're looking ahead to spring training, and you got Kings basketball going on, and I'm into the Niners and Eagles as well. I have no rooting interest in this World Series, and so Andrew says he's from Stockton. Okay. All right.
Baseball fans, I get it. I mean, Campio says, hey, it's been a great World Series.
Campio's cousin actually plays for the Diamondbacks.
He manages.
Right. He's a first base coach or something, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And Campio says, Draper, you have to cover every sport. And that's true to an extent. But are we really talking a whole lot of World Series right now? Now, if the Giants were in it, if the A's were in it, I'd be dialed in. I'd be glued in.
Yeah.
But that, Texas, look, Arizona?
I don't think it's debatable. How much you like it and what you think of it, that's, yeah, whatever you think, that's what you think. But I just, nationally, I think it's, you know, there's not a lot of interest in this series, unfortunately. And it's too bad because baseball had kind of a comeback year this year with the new rules. A lot of them were... They worked.
Right.
People got a little more interested in baseball than you have this World Series, and it just seems a little anticlimactic.
No,
I'm disappointed. That's all.
No, I 100% agree with you, and I thought the baseball season was tremendous. So many storylines, so many teams vying for it at the end. I thought the playoffs were pretty good as well, especially, you know, you had some of the upsets, Dodgers getting knocked out early, Braves getting ousted. But then it's sort of, you know, I'm sorry, the Diamondbacks don't elicit a reaction.
They don't have a very strong brand.
They don't have a strong brand around the country.
I'll be watching. By the way, Compio says my cousin played for the Dodgers.
Oh, my
Davey
gosh.
Davey Loesch. I believe him. I believe him.
You sure about that?
I'm Compio, buying it.
He's related to everybody.
Not anybody could just make that up.
Oh,
he's
my
got
gosh.
Another cousin who's married to Ray Allen's cousin
or something.
Yeah, sorry, Compio. I know I never
Hey,
get
Compio,
that right.
In the chat, I want you to list all your relatives who are married to famous people or you know, because I need to keep a running tally of all this, man.
Oh, you're loco, man. Yeah.
When we come back, a former Niner says, it's panic button time. Is he going to take his finger off the panic button now that the Niners made a big move today? That's next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.